for your presence already manifested here. We thank you for a beautiful time of praise and worship unto you, Lord, that we're able to put ourselves, Lord God, in a position to purposely love you, to purposely praise you, to purposely adore you. That you give us the ability to shut out everything and everyone around us and just concentrate on you, Lord God, and to love you and to praise you with each word and each song that comes forth. No matter how many times we heard it, Lord, we have the ability just to hone in on you and to love you. And so I'm asking this morning, Lord, as we look at this subject crowned with life, these things, Lord God, that you've been speaking to my heart about, and these truths, Lord God, that we've been looking at for a number of weeks, if not months now, these things about how we live, Lord God, and how we all, every single one, not a single person needs to be excluded from knowing you, believing you, receiving from you, enjoying everything that you have secured for us. And what we learned this past Wednesday, Lord, that you are not a respecter of persons. What you did for one, you'll do for another. That all your blessings and all your truth and all your promises are for all of your children. And so we thank you, Father, that we're able to line ourselves up by faith, by trusting, believing you and your word, Lord God, and experiencing you and your truths in our lives and through our lives. So we just, by faith, ahead of time, give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I started out this past Wednesday on this subject, and I didn't know if I was going to continue this Sunday, but apparently I am. I could not change the direction. I just kept coming back to this direction over the past couple days. So I'm going to start out again in Revelation chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And this is the second church that Jesus is speaking to of the seven churches listed in Revelation 1, 2, and 3. And as you know, there are two churches that Jesus does not give a rebuke to, or there's two churches that he does not tell them to repent. And this is one of the two churches that he does not tell them to repent. It's the church of Smyrna. And I would like to just pick it up with verses 10 and 11. Do not fear any of those. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer, and the word is also experience. Don't fear any of those things which you're about to experience. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not just that church, but it was to go out to all the churches, even to this day. What the Spirit says to the churches, he who overcomes, he who gets the victory, he who secures the victory, shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, I took some time. I don't want to take a lot of time. What I covered Wednesday night, I would just encourage you to go back and listen to some of the things that I said concerning about the devil's going to throw some of you into prison. And I took some time Wednesday night to speak about not just a physical prison, but the devil likes to isolate, likes to put people in isolation, likes to get people aside, get them unto themselves, or to try to make you think your problem or your situation is bigger than whatever anybody else may be facing. And he is an isolationist. And he just really loves for you to get to some type of thinking or to some type of belief where nobody understands, nobody's able to identify, and you feel alone and you feel isolated. And that's what he's referring here. There is physical prisons that we know that people do get arrested and they do get put into prison. But it's just not a physical prison. It's also something spiritual or something mentally or something emotionally. How many of you ever been in an emotional state that you felt nobody understood what you were facing? Nobody understood what you were going through. And maybe nobody did. and you're trying to explain it to them, and they're just kind of looking at you strange, and you just felt alone and isolated. The enemy likes for people to be in that place. But as believers in Jesus, Jesus said it would have a beginning, it would have a duration, and it would have an end, referring to 10 days. 10 days means that which needs to be fulfilled within a person's life, or that which a person needs to go through, the fulfilling of law, or what a person is going to experience. So you have to always realize that no matter what you may go through, no matter what you may face, there'll be a beginning, there'll be a duration, but there will be an end. And you have to realize that there will be an end. Just as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. There are things that your life is going to have to face, go through, and be fulfilled. But just realize it will have an end. But you can have a faith, or you can have a belief, you can have an assurance while you're in it. No matter how bad it may be, no matter how isolated you may feel, there's a truth that God will reveal to you, that faith in that word or faith in that promise will cause your mind and your emotions to be settled even when you feel everything is like against. But there's a truth that God will give you that you'll grab hold of regardless of the feeling. Regardless even at times of the emotional state, you're able to grab hold of that truth. And you'll see yourself come around and take that. We did look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 and other passages that referred to this. But he talks about here a crown of life. He talks here about a crown of life. Now, most of us know that when we go stand before the Lord and stand at the judgment seat of Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of those things which we've done in our bodies. In other words, after we came to know Jesus, from the time that we said yes to Jesus and we were born again, we're going to give an account of our spiritual life in Christ Jesus. It's not a condemnation of going into hell, but it's an accounting of our life that we have lived in Jesus. And it says, the things that we've done in our body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so we're going to give an accounting. We all know that when we came to know Jesus, that we were given the gift of everlasting life. But yet, it talks about a crown of life. There are going to be those in the body of Christ that are going to grow in their giftings. They're going to grow in what God has given to them. And there will be rewards and a recognition of those things that we have done when, as we have served the Lord. Because it talks about a crown, or that which you're going to be recognized for. How many of you also know that there are going to be those that they've come to know Jesus Christ, and the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they haven't really done anything, but they will allow to be able to come in. It says, yet their soul will be saved. Matter of fact, let me just read that to you first real quickly. I remember one time when I was first attending here, Pastor Bill had mentioned about crab Christians. In other words, just, you know, barely getting in type of Christianity. Well, none of us want to be crab Christians, do we? I don't want to just get in by the skin of my teeth. I want to have, the Word of God tells us in Peter that we can have an abundant entrance supplied for us. Amen? But, oh, yeah, Mark, come on in. I don't want this, yeah, Mark, come on in stuff. How about you? Yeah, you made it. No. Hey! There's King Mark coming in. There's Queen Laura coming in. There's King Eric coming in. Not, yeah, come on, have a seat. No, none of that stuff. But it does. The Word of God does say that things like that will occur. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And there will be those that will just have a firm, solid foundation of Jesus Christ, but they've never built anything too much upon their life at all. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but each one take heed how he builds on it." Actually, I read that in reverse here. Verse 12. "If anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, each one's work will become manifest for that day." That day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. That day will declare it, or it will be revealed that day, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. In other words, it's going to be proved. is going to be proved. What was it? Was it really from the divine nature of God? Was it really for the glory of God? Did it really manifest the character and redemption of Jesus Christ? Did it really bring glory to God? Or was it just something that's going to be burned up? Was it just our own effort? Did we already get the praise for it? Remember one time, I'll give you an example about fasting. How many of you know that fasting's important? Jesus didn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. And there's all different ways in which we could fast, but he gave us the parameter of how to fast. He says, don't be like the Pharisees that disfigure their face. And they throw on like a sackcloth and they throw on ashes and they walk around with a distorted look like, I'm fasting. They have their reward. But when you fast, anoint yourself with oil, put on some really good clothes, and so that nobody knows that you're fasting. Do it as unto the Lord. Because either we can let people know and we receive our reward already, or we do it before the Lord and the God sees it, and what he sees that we're doing secretly before him, he will cause an open display. He will cause us to be rewarded openly, or there will be fruit, evident fruit of that fasting time before God, evident to yourself and evident to others. And so the one which people know about, the one which gets recognition, he says you've already received your reward. That's like wood, hay, and stubble. But the one that's done before the Lord, he recognizes and he sees. And so there'll be a greater endowment. There'll be a greater acknowledgement for that individual when they stand before the Lord. So there are going to be rewards and the lack of them. Let me just finish reading here. It says here, if any man's work, verse 14, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward, indicating that there will be those who won't. Okay? Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned up, shown that was of the flesh, or shown it was selfish, or had a wrong motive behind it, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So it does talk about a person that can be a Christian and just make it in. I tell you what, when I read something like that, all of us here should say, not me. Amen? Not me. Right? So we want things, if we're doing it with an improper motive, Lord God, I want your motive. I don't want my motive. If we're looking at it to be seen, Lord God, I don't want to be seen. I want you to be recognized. All sometimes it takes is just a change in motive, or the change in which, how in which we're doing it, or how in which we're saying it. And a lot of times that will just make a difference between a reward and not a reward. And the Word of God does talk about there are different crowns or different crownings or acknowledgments that we will receive. And I'm not going to go into them today, but I'm just going to list them to you. There's one called a crown of rejoicing. There's a crown of righteousness, not the gift of righteousness, a crown of righteousness, how you lived in righteousness, how you displayed the righteousness of God, how you lived to the righteousness of God, how you lived to the glory and honor of God. The crown of rejoicing has to do like Luke 15 and other places where it speaks about your life was used to speak to somebody about the Lord, and you were used to either plant the Word of God or water, or you were used by God to bring in that person into the kingdom of God. It's referred to a crown of rejoicing, and years ago it was referred to as the soul winner's crown. There's something that there's, I don't know about you, when you share your faith, there is something so wonderful and so exciting and so joyous afterwards. You're just like, wow. It's like you begin experiencing that joy and that rejoicing when God gives you the ability to share almost anything about him with anybody. And so there is a crown or an acknowledgement. It's called a crown of rejoicing because you just didn't keep Jesus to yourself. When you were given opportunities, you shared Jesus with others. You spoke about the Word of God freely. You weren't keeping him in. You weren't just keeping Jesus secluded to yourself, and it's referred to as a crown of rejoicing. And then also the crown of glory, which talks about your life reflecting more and more of what you have received from him, and the one that we just spoke about a little bit, the crown of life. which I would like to go into deeper into all those at another time. So you'll have an understanding that from the Word of God, that you've been given the gift of eternal life. You've been given the gift of life, but we can allow that His life, the life of God, to work within us, that we display more of His life, and that will be recognized. That the salvation that we have received, that we look for opportunities to dispense what we have received. The areas that we're growing in, we look to share with others the truths that we're learning. And so it should be something very natural within our lives. But most of us know, or some of us know, if you're not taught the Word of God, or if you don't know these things, or I'm too shy, I don't think I can talk to anybody, and I fumble all over my words. I believe in Dan's evangelism course, he covers shyness as a form of pride. As a form of pride. That we have to be careful making excuse as to why I can't speak. And it is a form of concentration upon yourself instead of the ability of God. And it can be looked at in God's sight as a form of pride. And so these things, we learn these things so we can overcome these things. That's why we're called overcomers. God wants us to overcome all these things. So, you know, if something that you learned or something that you went through and it is not of God, God can show it to you. You can deal with it. It's no longer wood, hay, and stubble. It becomes part of the nature of God, the life of God, gold. It becomes part of what Jesus Christ has done, His redemption. And the crown of rejoicing or the crown of glory that I'm able to live to His glory and just be another reflection of the facet of God within my life. Amen? And so we look for these things so that we can change. And so this is what I shared a little bit Wednesday night on. And once again, we went to Deuteronomy chapter 30, which I want you just to hear this again. And then I'm going to go to Romans 10 real quick. But this part of, I'm going to read just verse 14, and then I'm going to drop down and read just part of verse 19. So Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. The word is near you. The word is very near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. And then down here in verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Now, most of us know that the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 10, gave us the spiritual understanding, or the New Testament truth concerning this passage. And in Romans chapter 10, we'll just look at one aspect of it, verse 8. Verse 8, it says, what does it say? In other words, what does the Scripture say? When Paul is saying, what does it say? He's referring to what does the Scripture say? What does the Old Testament say? The word is near you, just what we read from Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. And once again, you see the quotation there, that is, and he's giving the New Testament understanding for that Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, how we're supposed to look at it as New Covenant believers. That is the word of faith which we preach. Sometimes have you been witnessing or talking to people about the Lord? Well, if God is who He says He is and Jesus who He says, why doesn't He just appear? Why does He just come? That is to bring Christ down. Oh, I didn't see His suffering. I didn't see what He experienced. I didn't see the cross. See, we live in a very natural physical world, and people are always wanting natural and physical evidence. Well, there's all kinds of people that I have read about. If you want to read something really cool, a man who is an atheist, and he was a cold case detective in Los Angeles, California. And he said, he was looking at it, and he wanted to make sure that he wanted to disprove Jesus. And he said, because cold case detectives only work on information that is old, all they have are testimonies written down and what people have said, and they begin comparing all these things to see if they can find some new clues. So he was going to take his cold case detecting and apply it to the gospel. Something wonderful occurred. He got saved. This atheist came to know Jesus by applying cold case detecting. And as a result of that, the book and the audio book, Cold Case Christianity, it's really a good read, or if you want to hear it, get the audio book of it and hear this guy's journey trying to disprove Jesus using his cold case techniques and comes to saving faith, comes from an atheist into a believer. Why? The testimony, the plain testimony of God's word. He wasn't there. He didn't see it. But as he read the word of God, as he read through the gospels and began comparing one account with another account, but what this one said about the blind guy, and this one said about the blind guy, and this one said about this guy, or this one who said about the lepers, and this one who said leper, and he didn't say lepers, and he goes in and he explains, and he goes into all these different things and looks at it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of faith, which we preach, he didn't even realize by examining the gospels like he was doing that the word was becoming faith to him, alive to him. The Spirit of God was able to take those things that he was studying, all those scriptures that he was looking at in the four gospels, and begin speaking to him. He didn't see the cross, but yet he understood that Jesus died on the cross. He didn't see Jesus put in the tomb, but there was a reality by the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit made real to him that Jesus did die and was buried and did resurrect the third day. See, there's a spiritual element to this, that a person doesn't need to have Jesus come off his throne. A person doesn't need to see Jesus crucified on a cross. A person doesn't need to see what Jesus experienced after he died for those 3 days in the bowels of the earth, because the Word of God is its own testimony, and the Spirit of God quickens the Word of God as the reality of God to that person. The word of faith, which we preach. Every single one of you sitting here today weren't alive 2,000 years ago. But I would venture to say we're all willing to give our lives for Jesus Christ if necessary, that none of us here will deny Jesus. Because the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and us becoming God's children through faith in Jesus Christ is so real that I would not deny him. That's how real Jesus is to me, and that's how real Jesus is to you. And so when we share from a place of reality. I believe. And a lot of times you'll see where a person believes and where they're coming to belief. A lot of times you can even see for yourself. Certain things you know, you say, I believe. You know, the Word of God says this, and this is what I believe. Or sometimes you'll say, well, you know, the Bible says. You haven't come yet to a faith in what it says, but you know where it's at in the Bible. And so you'll say, the Bible says. I believe that the Bible says. See the difference? The Bible says, or I believe that the Bible says. There's something that has happened with inside your life that it is real, personal, and you possess it. And you speak from a place of belief. Amen? Now, some of us will go through this teetering time. I remember growing up when the Life magazine issue came to the house. And they had that opening, that threefold opening. And my dad told my sister and I, come sit down. I want to show you where we came from. And it showed the whole evolutionary history of apes to Homo sapiens. And my dad is now this is what we once were, and this is over progress of time. See here how many years passed, and then da 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 da. Then I come to saving faith in Jesus and realize that this is the inspired word of God. Then I hear, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Life magazine, evolution says this though. The Word of God says this. And so there comes a washing period. There comes a washing of the water of the Word. There comes a place where you have to start making choices. You have to start making decisions. You have to come to the place of, I believe that what God's Word says is the truth. Regardless of what science is so-called saying. You know what I heard recently? They said, evolution is dead. There are so many things that have come out that are just so disproving evolution that they're trying to prop up something that has died. Because there's so much reality or so many other things that have disproved from a, you know, that they call it those leaps You know, that we're a person where an ape changes to this form and then to that form and that form. And it's just becoming more and more the fairy tale that it always was. But so many people want to hold to it and not let go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1 tells us that Jesus was there with God in the beginning. And so there are truths that we have an understanding of, or Colossians, where it talks about Jesus being the creator of all things. There are things that you have to start wrestling with and grappling with. And if you've been taught wrong, you've been taught false philosophies and false education, and you're starting to learn the Word of God. Well, yeah, the Bible says this, but I was taught that, and I believe this, but the Bible says this. But as you continue, once again, the Word of faith which we preach, you continue in it. You stay with it. And then as you stay with it, the Spirit of God witnesses it to you the same way that you got saved. You never saw Jesus crucified. You never saw Him buried. You never saw Him resurrected. But that one day that truth hit you, that it was all the truth. And nobody can dissuade you from it. It's how you receive everything from the Lord. It's how you grow in every area of your life. And it's just so powerful, that this Word of faith which we preach. And that's why you've been hearing me say that the enemy is Satan, or the devil, however you want to call him, that he walks about, 1 Peter 5:8, we've been looking at this. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, making loud noises and trying to bring up things in science and trying to bring up things, digging up dirt. I'm telling you, the more that they dig in the dirt, the more they prove God. It's amazing all these discoveries that they're making. But he tries to create doubt. See, what he's trying to do, because it tells us the answer in 1 Peter 5:9 tells us the answer. It says we're to resist him steadfast in the faith. So if we're to resist him steadfast in the faith, you have to realize what he's roaring against, or what he's coming against you in, is your faith. Your faith in what God's Word says. Things that are people trying to tell you. Do you really believe that stuff, Sharon? Do you really believe that? You know, some people questioning, as the serpent did to Eve. Did God really say, is that what he really means? That you shouldn't really eat of that tree? Look at that tree. That's some good looking fruit there. Now, we got to eat some good fruit there in Georgia. That was nice. I got to eat apples I'd never heard of before. It was the apple harvest season. And so, you know, so the enemy tried to use something to tempt her with her eyes, with her taste, with the senses, to disprove what God had said to Adam, and Adam relayed to Eve, about what they were supposed to live by, and to get you to look at it in a way that you haven't looked at it before, or think about it in a way that you haven't thought about it before, to get you from a place of faith to a place of unbelief toward God, or faith in something contrary to who God is. That's what he's after. Think about the times you've been tested. Think about the things that have been introduced into your life. It's been attacking your faith in Jesus Christ, or the reliability of Scripture, or the truth of Scripture. And so that's what he's after. He's out to attack our faith. And so we've been looking at this. And we've been looking at, we looked at in Romans here, chapter 10, verse 12, is basically where I left off Wednesday, when it said, there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13 says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Indicating that it wasn't just for the Jews, but Jesus came for everyone, Jew and Gentile. It took them a while to catch on. It took them from Jesus' resurrection in Acts chapter 1 all the way to Acts chapter 10 before they realized that the Gentiles were allowed to come in and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior without becoming a Jew first. So it took a number of years for even the Jewish believers in Jesus to come to that understanding. But what I was trying to point out Wednesday night, and for some of you who weren't here, that God's not a respecter of persons. And if you know, if you can look at a believer or know a believer or hear a testimony about a believer, or you know anybody that's growing in Jesus Christ and you're not there yet, oh, I wish I could be like so-and-so. So-and-so gets answers to prayer, and I'm not really getting answers to prayer. You know, it just seems like God's blessing this person with revelation. I'm just not really receiving a whole lot of revelation. If one person receives revelation, you can receive revelation. If one person is getting answer to prayer, then you can get answer to prayer. If one person has experienced the truth of who God is, then you also can experience the truth of who God is. So you have to realize when you get this understanding that God's not a respecter of persons, if you can come to an understanding or if somebody else can come to an understanding and you hear the testimony of that person, then you too can come to an understanding. If somebody's getting their finances met and you're like, well, I'm having a little bit of struggle, maybe I need to sit down with sister or brother so-and-so and hear what God's been doing in their life so my faith can be built up in the area that I'm weak in. So I can get an understanding that I don't have to be in an area of lack. I can be in an area of stability that the Lord has for my life. Or if you're in a place of emotional upset, or your thinking isn't where it needs to be, and you're having a problem with some of your thinking and some of your thoughts, and you see somebody that's pretty stable in their thinking, spend some time with them. God's not a respecter of persons. If that person can get a hold of their thinking, get a hold of their thoughts, and get a hold of their emotions, and become emotionally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, then so can you. Hello? We don't have to be bipolar. We don't have to be up and down. We don't have to be in and out. But at times, we find ourselves living in a yo-yo Christianity. Ever used to do a yo-yo? But there was one thing called walking the dog. It would just stay down there. You know that? And every now and then, you pop it, come right back up. But there is a place of consistency we all can have without being jerked back to where we were before. No more yo-yo Christianity. It doesn't have to be. Why? Because God's not a respecter of person. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Sozo salvation. Saved, healed, delivered, set free, rescued, preserved, brought to a place of safety and provision that is needed for that person's life. Spend some time and realize all that Jesus Christ has secured. And if one person's tasted of it, so can you. Don't put yourself down. Let your faith grow. But we're so used to putting ourselves down that we don't allow our faith in God and in God's word to grow as it should be. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hand of the enemy. Why? It's a reality that's coming out of your mouth, and when it comes out in faith, that person is able to hear it in faith, and the reality begins setting inside them. And then God brings a confirming word, and another confirming word, and another confirming word, boom! Then you start grabbing it also. Amen? But I do have to say, not everybody will do that, though. Not everybody's going to grow that way. There are some people who will always make the excuse. They'll always look at the negative side, even Christians. Oh, I tried that and didn't work. And they just find themselves always just living in the wood, hay, stubble side of Christianity. Well, that's for them and that's not for me. And God doesn't want us to live in the wood, hay, stubble side of Christianity now, does he? Look what it says over here. Well, we know that the Word of God goes on and talks about that for a person to grow, for a person to know Jesus, and for a person to grow in Jesus, they got to be heard. They have to hear what the Word of God has to say. They have to be discipled God's Word. They have to be taught God's Word. And it says here in verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or somebody declaring that truth? You see, I love that word here, preacher. Not explainer, not a reasoner, but a person who knows what they know and why they know it, and they know what they believe, and they just declare it. They just speak it. Not making excuses for it. But God didn't say for you to be an explainer of Christianity. He said for you to be a proclaimer of the truth of Christianity. That you just say it like it is. Let it fall where it needs to fall. Let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit needs to do. It says, we're to what? And Paul talked about in that 1 Corinthians 3 we didn't look at. It says, what one? One plants. Right? One sows, one plants. And what does the other person do? Waters. But what does God do? Give the increase. How does he give an increase? The Holy Spirit's ministry, the Holy Spirit in that person's life, witnessing that that word is true, speaking it inside their heart, that what the person is saying, you need to start believing, you need to start grabbing hold of it.
the supernatural part of it that God does, the unseen work of the Spirit of God in the heart and life of you and unbelievers all over this planet, trying to bring all of us, trying to bring all of you to a place that you're struggling in, to a place that you just haven't yet grasped something. You know there's something you want to get. And God wants you to get it. God wants you to know. And he's
very long-suffering with all of us, isn't he? You know, infinitely patient. And for some of us, I'm glad that God does not have a short fuse like some of us do. Right? Sometimes, you know, we say, "How long, O Lord?" I was patient with you, wasn't I? Yes, Lord, keep going. But look what it goes on here to say. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet. You have beautiful feet here today. When you get the opportunity, do you share some of the things that you're learning? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And so we know that, once again, this also goes back to a crown of rejoicing. You being used of the Lord, sharing the things that you have learned from Him, sharing the things that you've grown in, and not ashamed. Jesus talks about not being ashamed of His words, of what He has to say. For the person who's ashamed of His words, that he will also be ashamed of them at His coming. And so we never want to be in that place. And if you find yourself in a place of cowardice, you find yourself in a place of timidity at times, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to live there. That's why Dan, he's taught this evangelism course now twice. It's about 26 weeks. So that you can learn how to share Jesus. So you can learn through at times he has role plays and different things. You're talking with each other. And this time he wasn't able to provide the opportunities of going out, but he said he's going to, so that you can actually get some experience, on the road or on the job experience in sharing your faith, being teamed up with somebody. And so you may, "I don't know how to begin a conversation. I don't know what I need to do." Well, he'll show you. Him and Tanya will show you. And that's what he's called to do. And that's what he wants to do. And so you may be, some of you are sitting here right now, talk to him. You feel like that's what you are sometimes. Get together with him. He didn't always feel that way when he first went out. But he also read what God's word says and realized it's supposed to be part of our life as a Christian. Looking for the opportunities. It should be just as natural as talking to anybody about anything. You've heard me say this before. There are some of you, when you know a good deal at a restaurant or something's on sale at a store or where you can get a really good deal on that, we've got no problem at all sharing about that stuff. We've got no problem at all giving coupons out. Yeah, I heard an amen back there. We've got no problem with that at all, but when it comes to the greatest good news of all, it's a spiritual force that tries to hinder us at times from opening up our mouth. And you've got to. I remember hearing this evangelist, Ray Comfort, that he goes, "You think it's easy for me when I go out there every time? You'd think by all these years I've done it." He goes, it's still not that easy for me to do, especially when he gets up and does street preaching. He said, "It's still not that easy for me to do." He goes, "But I know that God has called me to this, and I know that there are people that are listening." He goes, "They can mock. They can say all kinds of stuff that they want to say. But I also know that the word of God is landing on fertile soil. And God's going to bring an increase. God's going to bring somebody else to water. So I've got to get over myself and do what God has shared with me to do. No matter if I feel timid, if I feel afraid." Right? And so at times you'll find yourself. But you know what? When you start getting to know Jesus, it just becomes so free. You just become more and more free. Amen? But look at here what it says in verse 16 here. "But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?'" Not everybody is going to believe. Not every Christian is going to grow as they should grow. Not everybody's going to be saved. Jesus, I heard one person say, "Well, if Jesus died for everybody, why doesn't God just clean slate, just save everybody?" He did. But God will not violate a person's will. Each person is a free will moral agent. God gives the ability to each person to believe. Now, sometimes the people say, well, what about this people group over there? They've never had the gospel come to us. I said, you know what? As God is sovereign, I got to leave that with God. But since I'm here talking with you today, what about you? I may not have the answer for that individual there or that people group who they say may have heard or may not have heard, but that person is just trying to divert the conviction that they're experiencing right there. And I said, God is not going to allow anybody to experience something in eternity that his all-knowingness didn't know or understand, whether they heard or didn't hear, whether they would receive or not. I got to leave that in God's hands. But you standing before me right now, I'm speaking to you. You're not that person over there in that country. You are a person in front of me hearing right now. So what are you going to do today with Jesus Christ? And leave that truth with inside their heart. Or leave that truth with them today. Amen? But you'll notice that people will always try to get you off track with things. To try, what about this and what about that and what about this injustice and what about that injustice? Well, Jesus said injustice is going to happen. Matter of fact, Jesus said injustice is going to get so bad that we're going to wish that we weren't even here on this planet. That's how bad things are going to get. But see, he's made a provision for everyone who will put their faith and trust and belief in him. He said there's coming a time, he says, that if he doesn't get in there and step in there at one point in time, he says even the elect won't be saved. He's going to have to step right in there. That's how horrible things are going to happen. But when I got a scripture, Matthew chapter 24, for the elect's sake, that he steps in. Hallelujah! He steps in. Amen? Hey, that encourages me. Some people are like, oh, look at that, what's going to happen? Yeah, but look what it says. Here's going to happen. He steps in and we go home. Hallelujah! It just ripped another page of my Bible. The tape that I put on there, the tape ripped. So it's a huge section. I mean, look at this. Yeah, it's okay. It's still anointed with Mark's perspiration. See, God wants all of us to have an understanding. Not everybody's going to be saved. Not everybody will grow to spiritual maturity. Not everybody's going to hunger and thirst after righteousness as you do. Not everybody's going to be willing to die to the flesh or die to themselves or die to carnality or worldliness or selfishness. Not everybody's going to want to have a close and personal fellowship and relationship with God as you might have. Not everybody's going to want to continue in the Word of God and be diligent to search things out and mine the Scriptures of His Word. But as much as depends upon you, you're to continue. See, at times we try to get our eyes maybe off on a loved one or somebody that we know that's not growing as they should. You keep growing. You keep going on in Jesus. You keep being that example unto them. Paul told Timothy to be an example to the believers in, and then he lists all these things for him to be an example to the believers in. Because a lot of times when they see your life living that, it challenged their life to live like that. Instead of, oh, look at so-and-so, look at so-and-so, look at so-and-so, look at so-and-so. That's looking at the flesh. Look unto Jesus, model Jesus, and let Jesus in you impact their life. Amen? You serve Jesus. You walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want to just go back over here to Romans chapter 1 right now. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I want to get to this one statement here. Sometimes you just want to be able to slow time down. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed. I don't turn my face away from. I don't cover myself away from. I'm not embarrassed of the gospel of Christ. And he explains, he goes on and says, why? For it is, what is the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God for what? To salvation. It is the power of God. The Greek word there is soteria, where we do get the word sozo from. But it says it is the power of God to salvation. It is the power of God to deliverance. It is the power of God to preservation. It is the power of God to safety. It is the power of God from being delivered from every molestation of the enemy.
deliverance from every molestation that you may have experienced. Every abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, deliverance. See, Jesus secured freedom for the entire person, spirit, soul, and body. There isn't one area that Jesus has not secured your deliverance or your freedom for. And that's one thing, so you've got to let that sink in. That no matter how hurt you've been, or maybe hurt somebody else, no matter what you've experienced, that Jesus has secured the right for you to be saved and delivered and preserved from that. See, these truths have to go in deep. That's why Paul says, if a person's saved, then what area of Jesus' salvation do they need to hear of next to bring the fullness of what Jesus Christ has done into their life? And so a lot of times we are used of God. I just have to say it this way. Sometimes I have to beat the bush. In other words, I talk to people to see where they're at. And sometimes I got to say something to see how is a person's responding. Oh yeah, I remember when somebody did that to me. Boom! Okay, let's find out what God's word has to say about that. Why are you still feeling like that? When Jesus has secured the right for you to be released, I understand what somebody did. It was horrible what they did. But don't live in a memory when God can make a new thought to replace that horrible experience. So it can be something that you know, you're not denying that it happened, but it can be just something of a, you can talk about it, but there's no feeling or emotion or hurt associated with it anymore because you've received a healing from it, and now you can speak by way of testimony or through the life of God that you've encountered. Sometimes people have been so hurt and emotionally damaged, they almost hold on to it like a badge. A badge of dishonor. Well, you know what I experienced. And you almost hear what they're saying, and you just like, you know, Jesus has secured your release. Well, you know, I really did experience that. And it's almost like they get really vicious or mad because you're trying to relay a truth to them that Jesus wants to bring a freedom in, and a wall goes up. But what I have found out, that even though a person responds so negatively and so harshly to me at times, and they get all upset a week, a month, maybe even a year later. You know, remember when you said that to me? I couldn't stand when you said that. It was almost like I was diminishing. They thought I was diminishing what they had experienced. And them saying, I didn't see the truth that you were speaking of because the hurt that I was still in. But those words kept coming back. Somebody else saying this scripture, somebody else saying this truth about God, some saying this, that it no longer has to be that which controls your life, but a healing that God can bring into your life to so completely heal that area that you'd be able now to speak it by way of testimony to help somebody else. That's powerful. That's the wonderful power of the redemption of Jesus Christ in any area of our lives. That's the power. See, he knew it was the power of God to salvation, to deliverance, to safety, to being free, to being set free from shame and guilt. Isn't that wonderful? Once again, now listen to what the rest of this verse, remember we looked at Romans 10:12. God's not what? A respecter of persons. So who's this salvation for? Who's this freedom for? Who's this deliverance for? Who's this healing for? Exactly. For everyone who believes. Now remember I told you that the word is also everyone who believes or everyone who has faith. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. God is not a respecter of persons. He has what Jesus did, he did for one, he did for all. Amen? For in what? The gospel of Christ, that is the power of God to salvation, healing, deliverance, preservation, safety. For in it, the righteousness of God. You know, God's not wrong. God's right. When I think of righteousness, I think of the goodness of God. I think of the mercy of God. I think of the grace of God.
I think of the compassion of God, for in it, all that is so good about God is revealed. And God wants to reveal His rightness or His goodness, His hope to you, that things can change, things can be different. Amen? But then it goes on here to say, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from what? Faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith to faith. Faith to faith. Remember Mary Tedeka's ministry? Faith to faith ministries. This lady had a ministry, and she knew that where we're at, it can grow. What you've learned can be built upon. The truths that you have secured can become a greater truth or greater revelation with inside your life. The promises of God, you may have experienced one aspect of one of God's promise, and just as God is infinite and God is eternal, I believe that we'll never come to know the end of all that God is and all that God has for us. That there'll always be another facet of that truth or of that promise that you haven't seen yet that He wants to bring in into your life. And I have experienced so much. I thought I knew something about this promise, and I tasted of this promise, and God showed me a different aspect. And another aspect. So just as vast, as infinite as God is, so is His truth, so is His blessings, and so is His promises. Don't ever say, I've come to an end of it. I'm saved. I was saved. I am saved, and I'm being saved. There's just more and more of who He is that has ever been revealed to me of what Jesus Christ has secured on my behalf. But it says the just shall what? Who's the just? Just. Are you just? Do you believe you're just today? Do you believe you're a justified one? What's that saying that people say? Just as if I'd never sinned. A good way to look at the word justified. How God sees you just as if you'd never sinned. But it's also the word righteous, that you've been declared righteous. Just. The just ones. Those that have come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ have been justified. Those that have been justified by faith also live by faith. Why does it say we've been justified by faith? The word was spoken over a number of times to you. Somehow that God added by the Holy Spirit, He brought a conviction into your life that you believed in your heart that everything that you've heard about Jesus Christ was true. And you put your faith, you put your belief, you put your reliance, you put your assurance. You are now banking the entirety of eternity on Jesus Christ and what He has done. You have excluded every other religion, excluded every other possibility of belief, everything else. You have just solely put everything on Jesus Christ, that you know that today that you've been given the gift of eternal life, and if all of our breaths were taken right now to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, we have such an assurance. Take this life today, it goes, I graduate and I go home to be with Jesus. That's the assurance that you have. That's how you should speak of Jesus. That's how you should be living your life. With that total, complete assurance. It says this is how the justified ones or the righteous ones or those that have been declared free from sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this is how you and I live. The just, the righteous, live, deport themselves, live this life in a natural fallen world by faith. You are governed by the Word of God, not your five senses. Hello? And at times, you hear what I'm saying, but at times that's just not the way it is it? But are you able to say that I am a justified one through the blood of Jesus Christ today? I've been declared righteous and holy, pure and clean, just as if I've never sinned because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. He's made me a child of God. And somehow, one day this truth became a reality within my life and I had no problem repenting and crying out to Jesus as the Savior and Lord of my life. And this is what governs my life now. This is how I receive everything from God. I stay in the Word of God. The Word of God stays within me. Then it becomes a reality within me. I believe it in my heart and I freely let it flow from my lips. And if that's not your life, that's the way our lives are to be. Amen? the just, the justified ones, the declared righteous ones. It says this is how you and I are to live. This is how our whole life is supposed to be. Now, the question is, can this improve? Can we do better? And the answer is yes. So how do we do better? Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Just making sure that you don't block yourself with a familiar passage of Scripture or a familiar song or something that has become familiar to you and you, well, we're here, we're going on that again or saying that again. All of a sudden, the flapping over, the turning over of the ears. Begin to see that God is infinite. Begin to know that God is infinite. And there isn't a truth that you'll ever bottom out. There isn't ever a truth you'll ever come to the end of. Your understanding is just going to grow deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So there's always something to learn in that which is familiar. There's always something to learn in that which is familiar. So don't let the familiarity of Scripture keep you from learning what God has for you. Does that make sense? But at times, because we are human beings, we just Dumbo. Big old elephant with the close our ears to what's being said. And just kind of sit back here, look, stomach's getting hungry. When's he going to stop? I'm out of here. Hello? I remember, most of you know this, that when I first started teaching, I could hardly get 2-3 words out of my mouth. And I was really, wasn't I loud? I remember some people as I was preaching, they'd go like this. And then right at 12 o'clock, somebody, remember the old watches? Doot, 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 doot. I can remember the person was sitting right over there, and I'm not pointing to you over there, but in that area there, they lifted up their watch, and doot, 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 doot. And I'm like, I'm going 15 minutes extra. Oh, that person's definitely not living by faith. They're living by their flesh, and their flesh is hungry, and I'm going to feed them the Word of God. That was my thinking on it anyway. I said, well, they didn't get enough to eat, so I got to feed them some more. Isn't it nice to come together in the house of God? Now, I want to take some time, and we're going to look at some time because about 3 different times this statement is used. This statement is used in Scripture, and Paul uses it in here in Romans chapter 1. Paul uses it in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 3. Writing of the church of Galatians, and the writer of Hebrews uses this statement, the just shall live by faith. And it all goes back to a passage of Scripture in Habakkuk, whatever you want to say it, chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 4. And it's a portion of Scripture that's taken out of that, that Paul uses for the just to live by. And it's very important to have a background that we're going to look at next Sunday. We're going to look at the background of Habakkuk. We're going to look at a little bit what was going on during that time. We're going to look at what was going on with Judah or with Israel. We're going to look at what was happening because he starts out with this cry in chapter 1. He's like, why aren't you doing something about your people? They're rebellious against you and you're not doing anything. And they're serving these idols and they're serving these Baals and they're just having a good old time. And what are you doing about it? Can you imagine a prophet talking like that to God? But yet, don't we see stuff like that happening in the world today? Even in the church today. And you wonder why some of these... What was that? What did I hear on the radio last week? Somebody went to a Christian concert 2 weeks ago, and they were talking about it on the radio, and they just couldn't believe what they heard, the lyrics of a Christian song. There is no sin, let it in, let it in. And people are clapping their hands and they're singing a Christian concert. There is no sin, let it in, let it in. Indicating, in other words, it was really based on a really greasy grace gospel that there is no sin anymore. You don't have to worry about it. Let it in, let it in. In other words, once Jesus wants to set you free from it, you'll be set free. So until then, just let it in, let it in. Isn't that craziness? Just absolutely, the person got on there and was talking about, you know, the what actually grace does mean and the truth of what God's word has to say, and went into talking about how we're living in a time of people wanting to hear those kind of things. Really wanting to having itching ears for a story like that. A fable of God's word. Something made up. And that's exactly where we're at today. And so, you know, we do live in a Habakkuk type of times. In the church. Not just in the world, but in the church. And I want to go over a little bit of Habakkuk chapter 1 and Habakkuk chapter 2 of what he was facing, what he was seeing, and God's response. And God's response. Matter of fact, God's response caused Habakkuk almost like, why did I even ask you? I mean, what God began to respond back to him of what he was going to do? Whoa! When I was reading it, the word, whoa! He didn't like to hear what God had to say, what he was going to do as a result. And we're going to look at some passages that God's going to deal with his church before he deals with the world. But one thing the Apostle Paul was able to grab from all that even in the worst of times, even when people of faith aren't doing what they should be doing, that there is a place where we can set ourselves, a place to hear from God, a place to know the heart of God, a place for us to walk with God, that we can be that example that God wants to have. We can be a Habakkuk. Oh, Habakkuk means to embrace. It means to cling to, and it's referring to God. There will always be a people who will embrace God, who will embrace the truth of God's word. Even though that we see things going on in the church, God still wants embracers. God still wants clingers to him. Because there will be those people that will be involved in some of these itching ear lifestyles. And they've got some twisted word that your life, because you're clinging to the word of God and you're clinging to Jesus and you're embracing the truth of who he is, that God will use your life to bring them out of their captivity, to bring them out of their Babylon, so they can come back to the truth of what God has for them. Not everyone, but there will be those. And that's why you see in the places, especially in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 10 where this is used, that the just shall live by faith. And he talks about how we have to hold to what we have, not to draw back like some people are drawing back, because the just live by faith. That's at the end of Hebrews 10. And then we already heard this morning from up here, someone referred to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that it says faith comes, or faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you need to have an understanding why that the just shall live by faith, why that writer of Hebrews puts it in there. Why is Paul putting it in Galatians chapter 3, where he's putting in, what were the things said before that? And he talks about the hearing of faith, we're doing it in the flesh, we're doing it by the law. And so God is getting our attention, because in these days that we're living in right now, the times in which we're living, he needs you and me, as the justified ones, the just ones, that no matter what we see going on in the world or what we maybe see going on in the church, not to let it bring you down, but cause you and me to cause us to embrace and cling more to Jesus Christ and to be that example, because that's what Paul was writing to. Because when you read underneath that, you read from where that is stated in Romans chapter 1 down, he starts talking about those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And he starts going through these different classifications of people. But he tells us before that he goes into those different classifications of people in Romans chapter 1, the just, the justified ones, the righteous ones, those who's come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ and are walking with Jesus. You will live by the faith of Jesus. Now remember, you've heard me say in Revelation 14, I think it's verse 12, those in those tribulation saints are those who keep the commandments of God, or who attend to the word of God and have the faith of Jesus. Not in Jesus. It says have the faith of Jesus. That you're living a lifestyle comparable to Jesus himself. Isn't that powerful? God is not a respecter of persons. If one can live like that, we all can live like that. And that's the encouragement every one of our hearts should take, that no matter what's happening in the world or what's happening in the church, you can rise above it and live the way that God wants you to live for his glory, in Jesus' name. Amen? Father God, I thank you right now. I praise you. I glorify you that you are God. And we are the just ones, Lord God. You've made us just by your blood. You've cleansed us, Lord God. You've made us holy, righteous, pure, and clean. Through your blood, and as you said in John 15, to your disciples, you said, you are clean through the word I have spoken to you. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are separating ourselves and we're getting alone with you and we're desiring, Lord God, we're not turning our ears, we're not closing our ears, Lord God, but we're hearkening our ears unto you. As you told that church and all the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. All of us, Lord God. There are things that you're saying in this day. We can complain about the world, and we can complain what's going on in church, but you want people who model what the world needs to see and what the church needs to see. That we are the church of Jesus Christ, without spot, without wrinkle, without compromise, without flaw. This is where you have called us to live from, Lord God. And it's all by faith. That we know what your word says, we agree with what your word says, and we expect that truth to be lived in us and through us, Lord God. In our internal life, in our self-talk, in our thinking, in the words of our mouth, and the behavior of our life, we live to glorify you, Lord. There's nothing we desire more than to put a smile on your face by our inward life, the words out of our life, and that way, and the way that we live life. So we thank you, Lord God, for all these things and so much more, Lord, that you have for us. Use our lives, Lord God, to help the world know you and help any area of the church who's forgotten the reality of who you are, who has brought in a substitute, Jesus, a lookalike Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to model you to others, that they may come to know you, Lord God, as we are knowing you and ever knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.